Okay, so today's daf is Lamed Beis. We'll begin in the bottom of Lamed Aleph from the Beis, the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us that Shlosha Achim Nisuin Shlosha Nachrias. Three brothers married three women, not related to each other. Umeis Echamehem, and let's say Ruvain dies. V'asa Bahasheni Mimer. So Shimon, the second brother, does Mimer to Ruvain's wife. So we said Mimer is this quasi Kedushin. It somewhat builds a bond to Shimon, but doesn't completely sever the Zika from Reuven, or at least the Zika to Levi, I should say. Umeis, now Shimon dies after doing Mimer. Hari Elu Choltos Vlo Misyabma. So now Levi, the lone brother alive, he has to do Chalitza to both Shimon's wife and to Reuven's wife. Even though Reuven's wife, Mimer was performed, if let's say Shimon had performed the Yibum to Reuven's wife, then Shimon would be married to two women, and then Levi would have the option of doing Yibum or Chalitza to either one of Shimon's wives. But now, since Shimon only did Mimer, so it gets a little complicated, he's only allowed to do Chalitza to both of them. The Gemara is going to explain why that is. Shinemar, because the Pasuk says, Umeis Echad Mehem, Yevama Yevoleha. That says the Pasuk. And one of them dies, and the Yevama Yevoleha, the one man, one woman, Shaleh Zikas Yavam Echad, Velo Shaleh Zikas Shte Yavam. Has to be a situation where there's one Yavam, and now a situation where there are two Yavamim. So what does that mean? So let's see, Rashi explains this. Rashi says, Zika Shnei Yavamim, the Chol's Man Shalo Kansa, so long as Shimon never married Reuven's wife, Zeh Dain Zika's Rishon Aleh. So the Zika, drawn from Shimon, so from Reuven's wife rather, is still connected to Levi on the bottom. Right? Reuven dies, there's a line drawn from Reuven's wife to Shimon and to Levi. Okay. Now, V'nosefes Aleh Zika's Mamaro, Now, when Shimon performs Mimer with Reuven's wife, so now the lines are still there, but they're kind of blurred, but there still are lines. But now Reuven's wife is somewhat married to Shimon. So when Shimon dies, there's going to be a second line drawn from her to Levi. So now there are two lines. Now, one line might be a little bit diluted because there was this Mimer performed initially by Shimon, but it's still there. And then there's this new line drawn from after Shimon dies. So it gets a little bit complicated. And the only time Yibam applies is when there's only one Zika drawn from the woman to the man. But when there are two lines drawn from the woman to the man, then we don't allow for Yibam and we force Chalitza. So then the Gemara says, however, according to Rabbi Shimon, Omer miyabim le'ezah shiyurtza v'cholitz l'shnem. He holds you could do either one because the Mimer doesn't really accomplish anything. So Rashi explains, Miyavim le'ezah shiyurtza, k'dekasani time of perek sheni, we saw this already, b'braisa imamaro shosheni mimer, e shosheni hubo. If it's a real good mimer, so then, so Reuven's wife is now considered Shimon's wife, and there's only one Zika drawn after Shimon dies. If Mimer doesn't work, so then she's still from the first relationship, only one Zika. So no matter how you slice it, even though we don't know, there is a reality. We just don't know what the reality is. But whatever the reality is, it's only going to be one Zika, not two Zikas. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says now, V Zikas Shte Yavamim Deraisa Chalitza Nami Lo Tibayu. If we're saying that the Zika is something deraisa, that there's really these two Zikas deraisa that are drawn, that Mimer could create a second Zika, so then even Chalitza wouldn't be allowed. We're saying that the Torah tells us whenever there's Shnei Zikim, there's no Yibam. If there's no Yibam, there should be no Chalitza either. So the Gemara says, Ela Midirbanan. Really? Midirbanan would require Chalitza. On a deraisa level, it sounds like there's only one Zika, and because the Mimer doesn't take effect here. Right, it doesn't take effect. So really, Shimon never married Reuven's wife. So Reuven dies, and then Shimon dies,
isn't it more than the chalitza? Even the whole inyan is derabanan.
The whole
the p'tur from Yibum is derabanan.
But I mean, but on the raisa level, we would allow for Yibum, right?
Right.
So even though Mimer is done, Mimer really is meaningless, midiraisa. So we would allow him, Levi, to do Yibam to even Reuven's wife. It's not Shnei Zikim. And the Chachamim come along and say, we don't allow you to do Yibam, we require you to do Chalitza. Even though really, deraisa was an option, Yibam was an option, we're not allowing you to do that.
Right.
Okay. So why? What's the reason why they don't allow Yibam? They force him to do Chalitza. Levi has to do Chalitza. So the Gemara explains, Gzeira Shema Yomru Shte Yivamos Habos Mi Beis Echad, Misyavmos. So the concern is, let's say two women, a person, Reuven has two wives, for example. So you would think that you would be able to, so if this case, if we were allow Levi to do Yibum to Reuven's wife after Mimer from Shimon. So you would think, so Shimon now has two wives. So Midaraisa, it looks like he has two wives, but not really. Midaraisa, if we say, do Yibum to Reuven's wife, and you could also do Yibum to Shimon's wife. That's what really allowed Midaraisa. Again, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven dies. Shimon does Mimer. It's really meaningless. Then Shimon dies. So Midaraisa didn't. Levi could do Yibum to Reuven's wife, and Levi could do Yibum to Shimon's wife. That's okay. But since Shimon did Mimer, it looks like Shimon has two wives now. And in general, a person's not allowed to do Yibum to one brother's both wives. Only if they're two brothers' wives, but one brother's two wives is Usher. So since it looks like it's really both wives of Shimon, it's going to say, oh, just like in the case of Shimon doing Mimer, I could do Yibum to both wives. Maybe in a case where Shimon actually has two actual wives, I could do Yibum to both wives, which is going to be Usher. So that was the concern. So the Gemara says, so what's the big deal? Why do you have to do Chalitza in this case? Why does Levi have to do Chalitza to both Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife? Maybe just do Niyabim Lechada V'Nichlotz Lechada. So let him do Yibum to one wife and do Chalitza to the other wife. And this way he'll know that in a situation where Shimon actually has two real wives, he can only do Yibum to one and Chalitza to the other one. So Gemara says, because Gzeira Shema Yomu Beis Echad Miktsaso Banoi U Miktsaso Chalitz. There's a concern that they say, oh, you see, he took these Shimon's two wives and he built up one and he destroyed the other one. It's a very strange question. Where it says Vyomu, so say it. What's the big deal? That's whatever happens. Whenever a man dies with two wives left over, and the brother only marries one wife and doesn't marry the other wife, in essence, that's what he's doing. He's building one house and he's destroying another house. So why is that such a concern? So the Gemara says, no, the concern is that Yid Miyabim V'Havder Chalitz Hachinam. You're right. If he were to do Yibum first and then do a Chalitz afterwards, you're right. There would not be a problem at all. In the case of Shimon doing the Mimer, where there's really each wife is a separate house, because the Reuven's wife is still considered Reuven's wife. So really, it would not be a problem if Levi did Yibum to one wife and then Chalitza afterwards. The concern is, Elegzera Dilma Chalitz Bereshu V'Hadam Yabim. The problem is, let's say there's Chalitza to one of the wives, let's say Reuven's wife, and then does Yibum to Shimon's wife. The concern is, that might lead over to another case of Shimon having two real wives. And then he's going to do Chalitza first, and Yibum second, and that won't be allowed. You cannot do a Chalitza after Yibum. You can do a Chalitza after, you can't do a Yibum after Chalitza, rather. Once you do Chalitza to one of the co-wives, it asks you to the other co-wife. But if you do Yibum first, that's okay. So the Gemara says, if you did Yibum first and Chalitza, you're right, that would be okay. But the concern is, if you do Chalitza first and then Yibum, that might lead you to doing that in general when Shimon has two wives, and that's a problem because Bekamle, Basher Lo Yivner, when you choose not to to marry, rebuild the house, Rachman Amar, the Torah understood that Kevin Shlobana Shuvlo Yivne. What do you mean, Yivne? He didn't build. What do you mean, Lo Yivne? He didn't build. Once he decides to do Chalitza and does Chalitza, he can never build any of his brother's wives, any of the co-wives. So that's why this whole Gzera. Okay. The Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Nasan Get Lima Maro Hutra Tarasa. So what happens? So Shimon does Mimer to Reuven's wife. And then he ends up giving the get to Reuven's wife. So Hutzu Tzurasa, so Shimon's actual wife is now Mutter. So if Shimon were to die, Levi can do Yibum to Shimon's wife. He doesn't have to do Chalitza. The get undoes the initial Mimer that Shimon did to Reuven's wife, and Shimon just has one wife now. But she, who's she? Reuven's wife is Aser to marry Levi, even though Mikadin, he can marry Levi because the get undid the Mimer, so Reuven, she's really viewed as Reuven's wife. We don't allow it because you might switch and say, in general, what happens? Let's say there's no case of Mimer. Reuven dies. Shimon gives a get to Reuven's wife. No Mimer, no Chaliti. He gives a get to her. Once you give a get, that disqualifies her from being married to Levi, even if Shimon dies later. Point. Here to also, even though Shimon gave the get not to break the Zika, he gave the get to break the Mimer part. You could choose how the get goes. So you chose the get to break the Mimer, but I'm still maintaining the Zika. So even though Mikra Din, Levi is allowed to marry Reuven's wife because the Zika still exists, since a get is involved, it's going to be confused. A get you know, in Maimer versus the get in the case of Zika. So therefore, they said across the board, Reuven's wife will be usher to Levi. Levi, fine. Then the Gemara says, Ikadami, there is another version of the statement that Amar Rava Nasan get lemamaro hutra afilihi. So this version of Rava says, if he gives the get to the mamaro, that she's permitted. Even Reuven's wife is going to be permitted again. Because all the get does is cancel out the Mimer. The Zika still exists from Reuven's wife to Levi. And we're not concerned that it's going to be confused with a balas get in general. My taima, what's the reason? My David Bashakli. Because all he did was he undid what he took. The Gemara doesn't really address why there's no concern of the Gzera that it might get confused with the balas get. But that seems to be, that is the machlokus between these two ikadamris, whether we're concerned this might lead to confusing with a balas get or not.
So go back for a second to the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. The pasuk is just an asmachta, we're saying.
It must be what you're saying, I guess. Well, you know, it might be, no, maybe it's a real source. There might be a situation, I don't know what it is, that deraisa this is true. That if there is two zikin, shnei zikin, mm-hmm. it would be a problem. This particular application, is what you're saying, is only a derabanan application of the shnei zikin. Because there really is no shnei zikin, as we said in this case. I don't know, is there such a case where you could have shnei zikin mederaisa, though? Can we think of a case? I don't know, my mind goes...
We had the Gemara specifically said this.
So that's what Rashi refers to in Daf Lamed, maybe? Whatever Daf it was, not Lamed. Maybe Daf Yates.
The Gemara specifically said it, that if you don't hold of Mimer, maybe according to Shimon, that there's no such thing as a deraisa. I thought the Gemara said that.
Well, if you don't hold the Zika... So then they can't be Shnei Zikin.
There can't be a case of basic.
Right. Zika doesn't exist. Nothing to talk about.
No, if you don't hold the Mimer.
If you don't hold the Mimer.
Or maybe the Gemara painted one case. The Gemara specifically addressed this point, whether you could hold of the concept of two Zikin by one woman without Mimer.
Okay. So I take Adam's word for it. So that whether if this case exists, so then this pasuk would have relevance on a deraisa. Mm-hmm. But you're right. This particular application is certainly only derabanan. Okay. You look for it? fine. The new Mishnah tells us now, Shnei Achim, the Sun Shnei Achais. Two brothers married two sisters. Umeis Echa Mehem and Reuven dies. Vacharkach Mesa Ishtel Shosheni. Now Shimon's wife dies. Okay, so Reuven's wife's alive. Shimon's now, he's single. His wife, who was a sister of Reuven's wife, has passed away. So, Harezu Asur Alav Olamis, Hol Venesar Alav Sha'achas. We've seen this Mishnah quoted before. So, since the moment Reuven died, Shimon was asked to perform Yibam with Reuven's wife because that happens to be his own wife's sister. Even after his wife dies, now Midiraisa, what happens is a person can't marry two sisters. But if his wife dies, he can then marry his sister. But this time, the moment Reuven died, his wife was asked to Shimon, she's asked forever to him. Okay, because she's always viewed as the Eishes Ach now. That's forever. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course, that seems pretty obvious. Hashta ma'hasam delo midadche mehai besa legamre amislo. Of course, in the case earlier we saw, the case of three brothers, where Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters, and Reuven dies. So even though Shimon's asher to Reuven's wife, Levi is mutter. So she still exists. There's still potential in the work in the family. But yet, we still said that for Shimon, with respect to Shimon, she's asked forever. Here, where there's only two brothers. And the moment Reuven dies, there's no possibility of her staying into the family. So certainly, she's going to be asked to Shimon forever. So the Gemara says, this is what we said earlier. Tana ha-tana bereisha. First, this mission right now we have in Lama Beis was taught first. And they thought the other case, where the three brothers, where Levi was around there, we thought maybe it would be mutter in that case, since there was still she was still in the family. There's still the potential to marry Levi. We thought it was mutter. Visharya. Then they re-looked at the case and said, you know what, that case is actually aser. Since they were so chavid, because they learned this new chiddush, they placed it first. And we never changed the order of the Mishnah, so we left the Mishnah here. Okay. Which, by the way, is just a fascinating point that we see even in the times of Tanaim, they had mistakes also, which is just an interesting thing. They had one way, they retracted. It's okay to have mistakes. Everyone has mistakes. Even the Tanaim had mistakes. Now, we're not belittling them, chas v'shalom, but, you know, it's okay to retract. We have the basin made horaz. They made incorrect horaz, the whole Masecha Harayos about this. So it's an important lesson. Okay. Mara says, now, Tanar Rabbanon, Ba aleha chayv aleha, mishum eshes ach, u mishum achas isha divrei Rabbi Yossi. Now we're going to encounter some new concepts, challenging concepts. So let's say this case of Reuven and Shimon, where they married two sisters, and Reuven dies. I think that's the case we're talking about here. Yeah. So it's still while his wife is alive. Well, Shimon's wife is still alive, Rashi tells us. B'chai ishto. So Reuven's ba, sorry, rather, Reuven dies. Shimon's ba, al eshes Reuven. Reuven, okay, I keep confusing names, sorry. Shimon is ba and Reuven's wife. Shimon gets two isurim. One because it's his wife's sister, and one because it's his brother's wife. In both directions we're going in, there are two isurim that are taking place according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eina chayv ela mishum eshes ach bevad, you only chayv for one, namely being the wife of your brother. So Gemara challenges this idea. So does Rashi explain anything just yet? No, Gemara's going to explain. V'hotanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eina chayv ela mishum achas isha bevad, doesn't Rabbi Shimon say only chayv for being the wife of the sister of your wife, not for the brother's wife? So again, the two potential isurim, the brother's wife or the wife's sister. So we have two different braises about which one issur Rabbi Shimon says is being violated. So the Gemara explains, Lo kasha kan shenasa chai v'achakach nasa meis, kan shenasa meis v'achakach nasa chai. So here the words meis and chai refer to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's the meis, the one who dies, and Shimon's the chai. So it depends who married first, which issur was chal first. So again, one case is shenasa chai, where first v'achakach nasa meis, where first Shimon married the sister, and that woman, as single, the other sister was also because it was Achas Ishta. Then the mace, which is Reuven, married the sister. So the first one that kicked in was the fact that she is your wife's sister. That's the one brisa, that's the wife's sister is the problem. The other case is where it's Nasa mace. First, Reuven marries the sister. So at that point, Shimon's also because it's his brother's wife. And then he married, then Achakach Nasacha, then Shimon married the sister. So since the first Isser that kicked in was the brother's wife, we don't allow the second Isser of the wife's sister to kick in as well. So that's the machlokas. It's not really machlokas. Those are two scenarios that the two different brises are addressing. So Gemara explains that Rabbi Shimon says that heicha denasa meis, when Reuven marries first, v'achakach nasa chai, then Shimon gets married to the sister, kevin de'isr achas isha lochayel tisyabim yivume. So now this is an interesting question that he asks. Since the isr of the wife's sister is never chal, so when Reuven dies now, so Shimon should be able to marry Reuven's wife because there's only one Isser, which is Achas Isha. Eshes Ach. Eshes Ach doesn't exist by Mitzvah Yibum. The only time we say Mitzvah Yibum doesn't apply when there's another Erva taking place. But here we're saying there's only one Isser. There's no Erva of a wife's sister anymore. That was never Chal. So again, first Reuven marries his wife. So Shimon's Usser. Shimon marries his sister-in-law's sister. But that's not Chal because there's already an Isser from him to the wife. Reuven dies, so it allows Shimon to perform Yibum with his sister-in-law because the fact that it's his wife's sister makes no difference because it wasn't Chal. You like the question?
It's interesting the way Gemara views it. Is it the Isser that creates the Erva or is it the biological relationship? Because the biological relationship is still there. You know, Lamaisa, you're married to your wife. You're going to marry your wife's sister.
Right, so it's clearly the former.
Right.
We have other cases where biological relationships, it could be basa, nusa, and these types of things, which might be mutter, even though biologically it's a daughter, even though if there's no marriage, halachically, we don't acknowledge it being the case. So we have situations like this. So it's a very interesting question, very lamdisha question the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Isser achos isha misla tali v'kai. It's there, it's hovering over. It's not like it doesn't exist if we knock it out. It's potential to fall. I paka isser ach. If the Isra Isha Ach somehow is removed, so then the Achas Isha comes and falls upon this woman. And therefore, there's never an Isra that's removed. So yes, the moment Reuven dies, there's this Yibum that starts to come in. Now, the Mitzvah Yibum, you have to figure out how it works. The Mitzvah Yibum comes in and is Oker, the Isra of Isha Ach. But then once that allows itself to come in, then the Achas Isha falls on top of her. So I don't know exactly like the order and how to explain the mechanism, but somehow that's the general idea of this floating over there, and it's chal once there's room, there's a vacancy for the Achos Isha, to be chal on this woman. Okay, I'm sure there's a lot to talk
Makes
about
sense.
Here. Yeah.
I don't understand the Havamina so much.
Right.
That the Maisa, he's married to the sister. He's married now. Shimon's married to a sister, so why shouldn't it create a new Isser now?
Well, because the concept of the Ein Isser Chal Isser. So the Gemara is basically asking, how does the Ein Isser Chal Isser work? Does it mean it's not Chal all, it's completely out of the picture? Or it's there, it's hovering, it hasn't been Chal yet, but it's potential. But one might say the Gemara's Havamina was, since in the first moment that it could have been Chal, it has no place for it to Chal on, so it just...
Hutra.
Yeah, Hutra, completely. It's somewhat reminiscent of the Kimlev the Rabbi Bine situations, where we say that one punishment, not two punishments, are Chal. So how do we view the second punishment? The second punishment is not existent at all, or it's there, it just kind of gets absorbed in the greater punishment. Like Ramban, in the beginning of Malchus, writes that when you do Kimlev the Rabbi Bine, the greater punishment over the smaller punishment, when you give the greater one, it's as if you're being Mekayim even the lesser punishment. They're both there, we just can't see it. So in essence, that's what the Gemara says, it's kind of there, we just don't see it actualized. Mm-hmm. Where the others, by Kimlei, say, no, there is no second Issa. The second onus is not Chalol. It's completely mafkia here. So in a situation you could find by Kimlei, that somehow you could get around the problem of not giving the Mises Bezdin, then there wouldn't be a Chiyav Tashlum either because it's not Chalol. So that's the Gemara Havmin in Maskan, I believe. So then the Gemara says, the Savar Rabbi Yossi Issa Chal Issa. So we said above that Rabbi Yossi felt that in this situation there's going to be two Issurim. The fact that it's his wife's sister and the fact that it's his brother's wife. So does Rabbi Yossi really allow for Isser Chal Isser? V'hatana, the Braisa teaches us, Avar Aveira, Sheyesh Bash Shtei Misos, Nidon B'chamura. Person violates an Aveira that has two punishments. You always go for the greater punishment. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nidon B'zika Harishona Habalav. He says, no, you don't go based on the greater punishment. You go based on the first one that came about. What does that mean? First one that came about. Tanya, Ketzad, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Nidon B'zika Rishona. What's an example? Habalav. Chamoso v'nasas eshes ish, Nidon b'chamoso. So let's say he marries a woman, Rui marries a woman. So his mother-in-law now is Aser, Midin Chamoso. His mother-in-law at the time of marriage was single. Now his mother-in-law goes ahead and gets remarried. So now she becomes an eshes ish. Rabbi Yossi says you always go based on the first one. So the first Isser that was presented himself to Reuven was the fact that she was a Chamoso. Let's say she was an eshes ish, she was a married woman. And Nas Chamosa, then he marries this woman's daughter, so then she becomes his mother-in-law, so Nidom Eshish Ish, because she was first also to Reuven because she was a married woman, Eshish Ish. So all goes based on the first one, and not the Isser Chalasi. He does not allow the second Isser of Chamosa to Chal and Eshish Ish, or the Eshish Ish to be Chal and Chamosa. So Gemara says, now this is the new concept, Amar Rabbi Yabohu, Tab Lam Beis Amar Beis, Amar Rabbi Yabohu, Modet Rabbi Yossi, B'Isser Mosif. He agrees when there's an Isser Mosif, it brings something along with it. What does it mean, Isser Mosif? So if you look at the top of Rashi, it's a little bit long, but it's worthwhile, I think. Amar Rabbi Yabohu, Modi Rabbi Yossi, B'Isser Mosif. Shu Chal Isser. When there is an Isser Mosif, which we haven't defined yet, then Isser will be Chal on another Isser. Kigon Isser Eishes Ach, the Mosifu. Isser Eishes Ach, the brother's wife, is being added here. Shibat Chila, Kishinasa Ze Esachosa. Initially, when Shimon married this woman, and she had a single sister, Neser Alav, this sister, the single sister, who's not yet married to Reuven, Neser Alav is also to Shimon, Mishim Achos Isha, because it's the sister of his wife. Umuter Sechalachiv, but she's actually Mutter to all the other brothers. Mutter to Shimon, Mutter to Reuven, Mutter to Levi, Mutter to Huda. You create the brother's name, they're all Mutter to them. But now, Nasis Le'achamim, now goes along this single sister, and she marries Reuven. So automatically, Nesa al-Kulan, she's now usher to all the other brothers, to Levi and Yehuda. Mishum Eishes Ach, because it's the wife of their brother. Now, V'achshav, now that's the case, Nisosaf Isser Aleh, Legavi Sharachiv. So now there's an Isser that's Chal on the other brothers. Migo, the Chal, Shem, Eishes Ach, Allah. So now that there's a Shemus Eishes Ach, rather, that's Chal on all the other brothers, of Levi and Yehuda. Legave Sharachiv, Shaisa Muteris Lahem, that initially she was mutter to them, once it's Chal and the other brothers, Chal Nami Hashem Hazel, Legave Dide. That same Chalo Shame of Eishes Ach is going to be Chal and Shimon. Even though Shimon was already Aser to her, because he was married to her sister, there's going to be a new Isser, because the fact that it's Chal and other people, it's going to be Chal and Shimon as well. That's Isser Mosif. Afagav Rashi says, the Asira Allah Vekaima, even though he was already Aser to her beforehand. Aval, Eishes Ish, Vinasis Chamoso, if she was a married woman already, and then she became one's mother-in-law, Mitchila, Haisa Asur L'chol Holam. Initially, she's married to the rest of the, she's Asur to the rest of the world because she's married. Mishum Eishes Ish. So Nasa Zed Bito, Einis Zed Roy L'hosif Ale Imachem. The fact that he marries her daughter, there's no additional Isser to the rest of the world or to anybody else that's going to be tagged along here. The name of Migo de Chalalayo L'chinam Al Dehaya. The chamos of anasas eishes vaday iser most fine. Okay, but the case of okay, he points out an interesting question. Let's read through the rest of Rashi now. Let it a chamos of anasas eishes ish. First, a mother-in-law, who is only usher to the son-in-law now, but mutter to the rest of the world. But talking about where she's penuya, v'anasas eishes ish, and then she becomes married. That's certainly an isimosu, because now that she's an eishes ish, she's usher to the rest of the world. And now that she's usher to the rest of the world, she should also be usher to her son-in-law, an additional iser. Initially, since she was single, she was only usher to the son-in-law, but mutter to the rest of the world. Now that she's not an eishes ish, says Rashi, isosif hai sheim ala legavi chulyam. And now there's an iser that is added on to the rest of the world, she's usher. The fact that it's chal on the rest of the world, chal nami legavi dehai, should also be chal on the son-in-law. So why does Rabbi Yossi say you should judge her as a chamosa? Mishum de misos askinon, we're dealing with misos in particular. You can't kill him with two misos, obviously. Since you have two punishments at our hand, really what's going on here is that there are two isurim, and we are done. This is considered isur mosif. From chamosa to eishes ish is an isur mosif. The reason why we're done in the chamosa, because the chamoso is a greater punishment. That's basically what he's saying. We have to choose the greater of the punishments. Okay, so either way, we see. Right. If there were two, if it was done with shogeg, there would be two chayiv chadalis, because there would be an isur mosif of eishes ish. Right.
But our case also, it's two misos.
No, by our case, the second Isser is never Chal, because since she's initially an Eishes Ish, Chamos is never Chal on that one. Chamos with the Eishes Ish, the Eishes is Chal, there's two Isserim, but we need on the Chamos, because the Chamos is a greater, the greater Misa. Okay, so we see from here that Rabbi Yossi in general says, Ein Isser Chal Isser, but by an Isser Mosif, he agrees there is Yesh Isser Chal Isser. That being the case, that's why he allows the, so that Gemara is going to explain now. Once it's Isser Mosif, so Tinach, the Gemara says the top line, the last word, Tinach, Hecha de Nasa Chai, Vachakach Nasa Meis. If Shimon initially married her and then Reuven did the second marriage, that we understand why both Isserim are going to be Chal, because Migo de Isosif Isser Gavi Achim, so once, now that Reuven's married to the sister, that Isser on the sister applies to all the other brothers, Isosif Isser Gavi Didei, it will also be added on to Shimon himself. But Ella, the problem will be with Rabbi Yossi, Hecha de Nasa Meis. If Reuven marries her first, V'chakach Nasa Chai, Mai Isser Mosvika. Because when Reuven marries her, she's usher to all the brothers now. Now when Shimon marries his sister, there's no additional Isser. Reuven's wife was already usher to all the brothers. Where's Isser Mosif? That's the Shaila. Mai Isser Mosvika. V'chitem, if you're going to say, Migo de Itzar, B'chula Achavsa, Hai Isser Kolohi. Maybe you're going to say the Isser is, now that Shimon marries the sister, he's Asur to marry all their other sisters as well. That's not Isser Mosif, that's going to be Isser Kolel. Because Isser Mosif is when the Chefs is Asur to other people. Here the Chefs is not Asur to other people, but Isser Kolel, where since for Ruin's perspective, it's more people are Asur to him, so we could drag along with it, the all the other sisters. Let's see if Rashi explains this. I'm not explaining this well. Let's see Rashi v'chitema. V'chitema migo, migo de bahanoch nisuin de basraisa, mister hagavra bakulo achvasa. So this second marriage, the marriage of Shimon to the sister, is going to be usher to the Shimon now. Shimon's usher to all of her sisters, mishum achazisha. Dian Hash up until now, Havisharale. Shimon was permitted to marry all the sisters. So Isser Nami Mishim Hai Shma Gufa La De Kamaisa. She Aishis Achiv. Hai Lav Isser Mosif. This is not considered Isser Mosif. Allah Kamaisa. Lo isosif iser legavi achrina, because the iser of Reuven's wife, there's no additional iser. She was iser, she's also to the same people she was also to before. Lo isosif iser legavi achrina. El iser kolahu, it's considered also kolah, the kaile le kemaisa b'shem achos isha migo dechal alachosa. So I'm not quite sure how to explain this iser kolah.
If it creates an iser on other people, then it creates an iser on her too.
But this is not iser mosif. That would be an iser mosif, right? The from Reuben's wife, she was always usher to everybody else. We're trying to pull her in.
The iser is a stronger iser in some ways. Well, I guess it's you'd say the mosif also.
Right.
But it's the strength is different. The iser mosif, the strength is because it creates more prohibited relationships. This one, the strength is because the iser itself captures more with it.
Iser itself captures more with it.
I mean, you could argue that from the woman's perspective, there are more prohibited relationships that are created.
Right, that's what's been created. But is it that that's the point we're looking from the woman's perspective versus the man's perspective? It doesn't seem that's the case.
No.
It must be some conceptual difference here, which I'm trying to get. I always struggle with this. Iser kol and iser mosif. I think from the perspective of this individual, from the brother, all the sisters now usher to him, and we're bringing her in.
You sense that there's a difference.
Yes.
It's hard to articulate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's a difference. I can't.
It has to be worse. A worse Easter. Because there's something stronger about it.
I'm not sure about worse. I think it's like it's more like a gavra chefta thing. Like we're viewing the woman right now as a chefta. So she's a chefta shel iser for all the other brothers. No, I'm not sure that's a good way to look at it even. Yeah, I always struggle with that. I don't know. I don't have a good conceptual way to... But there's a difference. We have time. Let me take a quick look at this while we are... I think so. Yeah.
He says it's Moses and Israel call.
Okay, I'm not quite sure how to say that. There is a difference. I could sense a difference. I wish I could understand it better and articulate it. But somehow this is an Israel call. And therefore this case, Rabbi Yossi does not agree to an Issachol. He only thinks an Isser Mosif allows for Isser Chal Isser, but an Isser Kolo, he does not allow for Isser to be Chalal and Isser. So, that being the case, we have a stira still in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, we find in general, he says, Ein Isser Chal Isser, how come by the case of Nasachai v'achakach meis, really Nasa meis v'achakach Nasachai, why is there going to be two Isser? So, El Amar Rava, Ma'ala Anialav Kilu Asa Shtaim, Veno chayv elachas. So what's he saying here? So really, he doesn't hold of iser chal iser at all. And there's really only one iser that takes place. Yossi says, I don't know what this means exactly, but it's as if he's been violating two different isurim here, even though really there's only one iser. So, you know, Gemara says further, V'chein ki aser rabin amar b'yochanan mala ani alav ki ilu aser v'shtayim veno chayv elachas. We view this as if he violated two isurim, even though in fact there's only one iser that's chal. It's either Achas Isha or Eshazach.
In other words, there's no two chatals.
Exactly. Right. His rule is Ein Eshachal Isser. So the only reason why I said there's two Isserim here is because it's viewed that way, even though it's not really that way. What does it mean, viewed? It's a very strange idea. So Gemara says, Ma'naf Kamina, who really cares? And he views it that way. He did one Isser. What are you giving the guy a hard time for? So Gemara says, Lekavro Ben Rishoim Gemurim. To bury him among the Rishoim Gemurim. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi, the last narrow line, Ella Amar Rava. Liolam lesa lirbiosi ischal isser. He really doesn't hold of this idea. Only one ischal at a time. V'hadu kamer leil chayv olam mishum eshes ach u mishum achas isha. He does say there too. Lam bishogig lechayv ishtim achatos. Not talking about two chatos. He wouldn't be chayv two chatos. El b'mezid The Leas is Rosh Hagamor, when he did this intentionally, and to consider him a Rosh Hagamor, who lekavro bein Rishayim Gemurim, to bury him among the worst of the Rishayim. Sherosh and Nikva Eitzel Rishayim, you put them next to each other. The Tzambis and Hedjin shtei kvaros hayum tukanu lebezdin, echel and heragin, ulechan nechnokim, echel and eskal and esrafim, depending what Misa a person gets, that's where we're going to bury him. Uvehachanami avagav the high lab michai vebezdin hu, ho vavit tarti kavrino lei gavin eskal and esrafim. So even though here, is not michai vebezdin? Why is not michai vebezdin? I thought he is.
On both, he's only chai.
But only one of them. So even though he's not, let's see, what I don't know the different the punishments for each of them. I'm guessing one of them is one of the two lower levels, and the other one's the higher punishments. Let's see, there's a maybe that tells me here in the Masifta which punishments they get. I made a point what he's explaining here is. This is pretty interesting. The way you're explaining here is that even though
buried with the worst, like let's say he gets buried with the miskalim, mm-hmm. even though he didn't get skila.
Right. Well, that's what the way they're explaining from Rashi is that let's say even he doesn't get a chiyah bezin. Let's say they can't implement the capital punishment here. Maybe for technicality, they don't have the edim or something messed up. It sounds like we would still bury him among the rishaim. Because he violated these two averos. That's what it sounds like to have the reading Rashi here.
In a case where they don't actually implement the capital punishment.
Right.
But if in a Hanami, if he ends up getting killed with one, they would put him with Rishayim Gemurim anyways. That's the point.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly.
There wouldn't be any chamer. Tosfos seems to say a little different.
Yeah, story. He's pointing out Tosfos here. Tosfos says that El Amar Rav Amala, that one, or Ben Rishayim Gemurim, Perish Eta Rishayim Kemoso, put in among Rasham who are like him. Lefish ain't covering Rasha Eitzel Tzadik. V'lo k'moshe peyrus b'kunches l'kovro Eitzel Niskal v'nisrafim. We're not burying next to the worst. We're just putting him next to wherever he gets punished, whatever punishment he gets, he should be placed there. V'Rabbi Shimon Tzavar Dafal Pi Shiesh Baveira Zu Shnei Yisurim Kevin L'machayiv El Echadah in Kovrinos El Rasham Gemurim. Even though the Saveira has two Yisurim involved in it, we only chayiv one of them.
He's saying one isn't enough to get you by Rasham.
Uh-huh. Okay, so there seems to be a few different approaches to what's going on. It doesn't seem like there's a smooth Gemara here about whether you're talking about a place where he got actual Misa or which Misa he got. But, okay, sounds like a three-way machlokas, Rashi and Tuteas and Tosfos. Okay, then the Gemara says, Upluksa, and it's dependent on the following machlokas. Ditmar, Zar Sheshimesh B'Shabbos, Rebbe Chia Amar Omer Chayev Shtayim, Bar Kaparma Inu Chayev Alachas. So, for a Zar, who's not allowed to work in the Avodah, and he's doing it on Shabbos, at two Isurim. A Zar is Chai Misa, and doing an Avodah on Shabbos will be the second Isur, because he's not doing an Avodah. Even though normally Avodah is Docha Shabbos, if it's not an Avodah, it's a Melacha. And Bar Kapar says there's only one involved here. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Kafat Rabbi Chiyah v'Nishba, he jumped up and he swore, Rabbi Chiyah, who said that two Isurim, V'nishba v'ho avoda kach shemati Rabbi Shtaim. I heard from Rabbi that's two. Now, Kavetz Bar Kapar, in response, he jumps up, V'nishba v'ho avoda kach shemati Rabbi Achas. I heard, I promise you, I heard it was one. Hischa Rabbi Chiyah ladun, Shabbos l'chol nesra. So he started to learn. Shabbos l'chol nesra. Shabbos is also to the entire world. Kis shehutru b'mikdash eitz l'kohanim hutru. L'kohanim hutru v'lo l'zarim. So when they allowed Shabbos to be docha for the Mikdash, it was only to the Kohanim, but not to the Zarim. V'yesh kamishim Zaros, v'yesh kamishim Shabbos. So therefore, it wasn't that Avodah was completely mutter in the base of Mikdash, it was Avodah's mutter only for Kohen, but for a Zar, it still remained an Isser. So that's why the Isser Shabbos still existed. And then Hischa Bar Kapar Ladun, Shabbos the Chol Nesa, Shabbos is also to the entire world. Kishehutru b'mikdash hutru. It was only mutter in the Mikdash, across the board. Ain't kan el zaros is mutter to anybody. So what's the problem if he does avoda? There's no Shabbos problem because there's no concept of malacha in the base of Mikdash. The only problem that exists is zaros. Okay, we're trying to connect this, by the way, to what the ein yisachal is a point. It seems like a different point. It seems like a different idea here. Nothing to do with Einis Achal Isser. I guess the point is that, at least according to Rabbi Chiyu, says there are two. In addition to him thinking that Shabbos is only mutter to the Kohanim, Avodah is only mutter to the Kohanim, he also has to allow for Isser to Chal Isser. Because if he wouldn't, he'd think there's only one. But it's possible even Kapar could agree to Einis Achal, to Yesh Achal Isser also. But the reason why there's only one Isser here is because it's technicality that Shabbos was, the Avodah is completely Docha on Shabbos. So I'm not sure we're trying to connect it to unless it's coming up in the Gemara. Okay, we'll see. We'll keep going right there. But right now the machlokas is when Shabbos is when hutra avoda on Shabbos, whether it's hutra to the entire base of Mikdash, only hutra to the Kohanim. That's
connect on the next one.
Okay, great. So we're not going to get there today. So the Gemara says, where are we? Bamum shishimesh betuma. Okay, interesting. Bamum, who's of course aser, even though he's a Kohen, he's aser to do the avoda. And he's also, if he's Tameh, that's on top of that. That's Aser. So Rabbi Chiya Omer Chayv Shtayim, Bar Kabar Omer Eino El Chayv Achas. Eino Chayv El Achas. Chiya thinks they're two, and he thinks they're one. So Rabbi Kavats, Rabbi Chiya Venishba, Havod Dekach Shemati, Merebi Shtayim, Kavats Bar Kabar Venishba, Havod Dekach Shemati, Merebi Achas. They were both convinced they heard there was one or two. Hiskel Rabbi Chiya Dun, he started to investigate and create the following logic. Tuma Lachol Nesra, Kishuhutu b'mikdash eitzah kohanim t'mimim hutra, the kohanim t'mimim hutra v'lo b'bay l'mumim. So he had the same type of svara. Tumah is asur to anybody to enter the base of Mikdash. There's a special heter when it comes to the base of Mikdash that one, even though he's tummy, can perform the avoda. Now when they allowed it to take place, they only allowed it for the kohanim, but it still remained asur for a zar while being tummy. There's no hutra for the tummy, and v'yesh kan mishum tumah. Then Hischel bar Kabara Lodun, he says the same svara like before. Tum alachol nesra, I was usher to everyone. Kishutu b'mikdash hutra, across the board. When they said someone who's tameh may perform in the base of mikdash, talking about, I assume, a situation of when it's the tzibur is tameh. Right, rov tzibur, right. So in that situation, they allowed it for everybody to enter into the base of mikdash. So there's only one iser of zarus, or balmum, rather.
We're talking here about, that's what we're talking about here, the rov tzibur.
I'm assuming. Let's see. Does Rashi point that out? Yeah, Rashi says Shishimesh Betuma. That first Y line down, the carbon tzibur kamar shadocha tuma. When it's carbon tzibur, now he didn't say rov tzibur, but we only in general only allow this if there's rov tzibur or rov kohanim or tuma. That is the machlokas hutra dechui. The Gemara in Yuma, if there are available kohanim or tahor, could we go for those, or do we say it's complete hutra, and we don't look to decide whoever wants to come, even if you're Tameh, you're allowed to perform the avodah. So then the Gemara says, so according to this idea, that when they were matir, when their tumah was hutra b'mikdash, it was across the board, even for bali mumin, and therefore, ain kan ela mishum bal mum, the only issa that exists is bal mum. Then the Gemara says, zar shachal melika, so zar who eats from the melika, what's the situation there? So Malika is not a good shechita, but it only works in the base of Mikdash for the oaf. And the Kohanim do eat from the Malika, but that's a special exception, that a Kohen eats from the Malika in the base of Mikdash. So what happens if a non-Kohen, a Zar, eats it? V'chi omer chayv shtayim, bar kabar omer einu chayv lachas. What are the two isurim here? So let's see. The Gemara explains, again, same flow here. Rabbi Kafat, Rabbi Chiyav Nishba, he jumped up and took a shvua, v'havoda, kach shemati, m'rebi shtayim. In response to that, Kafatz Bar Kabar v'Nishba v'Havoda Kach Shemati M'Rebi Achas Hischa Rabbi Chiya Ladun. Rabbi Chiya started to explain. Nevela l'chol nesra. Nevela is also to anybody. Nevela, a animal that was not shechted properly, it died or it's killed but not shechted, is also to the entire all of Klai Yisrael. Kishu Hutra, when it was permitted, but Mikdash Eitz HaKohanim Hutra, it was only permitted. A Malika, in essence, is Nevela. It's not a good shechita, but it's a special exception in the base of Mikdash, but only an exception for the Kohanim. The Kohanim Hutra v'lo l'zarim. Therefore, yesh kan mishum zarus, yesh kan mishum malika. So there's one violation of eating from a malika, eating from a nevela. The other iser is eating as a zarus. What's the iser of eating a zarus? So Rashi explains, if you go to the bottom two lines, chayv shtayim, Rashi explained, mishum zarus and mishum nevela. The carbon hanecha l'kohanim, the carbon that's supposed to be eaten by a kohen, zar ha'ochlo, over mishum v'zar lo yechal ki kodeshem. Now we're familiar usually that Zar who does Avoda is violating the Isser. Rashi tells us based on the Gemara here that there's another Isser of eating a Kodesh. And the Gemara explains, V'lav hainu azar demila, the chol sheish bo shas hetter lekwanim ein bo mila. There's not considered a mila. Anything that has a shas hetter that's permitted is not a violation of mila. There's a hetter tekwanim. So there's another Isser tells Rashi, namely Zar lo yechel ki kodeshim. Okay. So then the Gemara explained, that's all according to Rabbi Chia. Then the Gemara says, Hischil bar kapar la du nevela l'chul nesra. Nevela is usher to the entire world. Kishahutra b'mikdash hutra across the board is mutter, even to non-Kohanim, even to Azar. Ein kan ela mishim zaras. The only thing left over is the iser of zaras. The question becomes now, do we stop here? We do have 15 minutes. It might be a good stopping point anyways, even though we didn't explain it. But we review tomorrow just those basic three machlokesim. And it gives me some time to maybe look into Isser Kola, because I always get confused. I'll get it a little clearer. So maybe we'll stop here then.
Sure.
Baruch, yeah.